Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love coach of the duo, and I have a brilliant episode for you today. I got to speak to dating coaches David and Ahmad to talk about dating in lockdown and how lockdown, with all of its restrictions, can actually be a really positive time for dating and making new connections with people. David and Ahmad are dating coaches who empower men to create meaningful and passionate connections based on authentic expression and emotional intelligence. And they do that through their podcast, the Authentic Dating Series, their talks, events, and coaching. In this episode, David and Ahmad share their own personal dating journeys and how they have overcome fears of commitment and the fear of rejection. And it's this male vulnerability and how they celebrate this in the work that they do that I love about these two. It's something that is so often missing from the dating conversation. I really hope this episode supports you on your dating journey. And if you are looking for some support and guidance on your dating journey and you love to have me as your love and dating coach cheering you on as you go on dates and helping you to release dating anxiety and fears, supporting you through the ups and downs of modern dating, then do reach out. Simply send me an email with the word love as a subject header to vicky@vickypavitt.com and I'll tell you all about the coaching that I offer. And so, without further ado, here is the episode with David and Ahmad. I hope you enjoy it. Ahmad and David, a huge welcome to the Project Love podcast. How are you both doing today?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Honoured to be here.
Ah, so great to have you here. I know we had put this in the diary earlier this year, hadn't we, before everything changed with COVID. So it's so great to have you on this week. So as of recording this podcast, we are a few days into a national lockdown. There are different rules in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, but here in England, lockdown 2.0 is here. And with other restrictions around the world right now, I thought that it would be a great time to record an episode that's dedicated to all those who are dating right now and how this can actually be a really positive time for dating and making new connections with people. And so I'm delighted to have you both on to talk about this. And I'd also love to talk about your work as dating coaches for men and how you help men to create meaningful and fulfilling relationships. So to kick things off, could you introduce yourselves and tell us what you do and how you got into doing what you do?
So hi, my name's Ahmad. I am co-host of the Authentic Dating Series. And how I got into Authentic Dating Series, which is a podcast for men, and also we provide coaching around dating and emotional awareness. And so, yeah, how I came into this was I used to be super shy growing up, very stiff in my expression. And I really struggled with connecting with women. And actually, I felt I struggled socially, but a lot of people would say I was fine. Internally, I had a lot of hangups and really struggled. So I pursued to improve this area of my life. And I did a whole heap of stuff from like challenging myself in social environments, reading crazy like challenges online and trying these things out, failing miserably along the way. And along the way, I had some successes and some failures. And over time, I really started to build a good sense of who I was and how to interact and also having a good level of emotional intelligence. Fast forward to today, like all of this knowledge that I have is what we package up and we put into the podcast along with, you hear from David, his side. And it really creates a really interesting dynamic for the way we express around dating, because David and I have very different backgrounds. And yet we both agree upon self-expression, authenticity, vulnerability as being core ways in which one can develop real and deep, meaningful connections with other people.
So, yeah, so my story, I guess, is a bit different in that quite a number of years ago, I was just finding myself meeting women. Like, I've never had this issue with kind of striking up conversation and having fun and talking to people, but I wasn't meeting women who I felt were really compatible with my values and where I wanted my life to be. And it kind of put me down a rabbit hole of learning some of the skills that kind of came out of the pickup side of the world, pickup industry. Again, moving away from that, kind of realizing that there was a lot of kind of dysfunctional behavior when I was coaching in that space. And then coming round to seeing that actually I had this huge thing around commitment. I didn't want to commit. I was scared of commitment. I used to call it a trap. So I kind of went a journey of really learning about myself, learning about why I felt the way I felt about commitment, and looking at a lot of my beliefs about the world. Like sometimes we have a lot of beliefs about how the world is black and white. And in dating, that can be really destructive to our dating lives, because we're like, you know, all women are like this and all men are like that. And if a woman's like this, this means this. And actually, when I started to really analyze them for myself, that actually those things weren't as correct and weren't as black and white. So I started to see. And I guess over the last kind of few years, what I really started to really hone in on was like real connection, like really being open and honest about me, what I wanted, especially my wants, my desires, and my needs, and kind of sharing that with the people I met, just openly and honestly, and being really open to who they were, like really non-judgmental about who they were and accepting them for who they are. And I just found that like this was a really great cocktail for really connecting with people. Like having people be able to really share themselves with me, and vice versa. So yeah, I've come to this place now, and seeing that also emotional intelligence is something as well in the last few years. It's like, you know, we talk about emotional intelligence and emotional awareness, but actually like the journey I've been on, especially in the last kind of 3 years of like really delving into that, is really beneficial in just like moving out of reacting emotionally into kind of choosing.
Yes. And what kind of things helped you on that journey, do you think? Was it certain people? Was it certain books, events, courses? What kind of things would you say? Because it sounds like you've been on such a self-development journey in overcoming this fear of commitment that I think, you know, so many people will resonate with that. And that is one of the biggest blockers to a fulfilling love life. Were there specific things that really helped you to overcome that fear?
With a commitment, part of it was actually being in a committed relationship. I think that was a big part of it, like actually just diving in and being in there. And I remember this was probably my ex-girlfriend and we were together. And I remember the first few months, like I was very tentative. I was like, I'm not sure about this. You know, I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm not going to be able to do things. And one of the things I started to notice was I was making assumptions about her behavior. Like she would say, what are you doing tomorrow? And I would take that as, oh, she wants to spend the evening with me, or she wants me to do what she wants me to do. And then I would respond to her and she'd go, I was just asking you like what you're up to. Like there's no need, you don't have to be defensive. And I was like, I wasn't being defensive. And then I started to kind of see that actually I had this idea of how it was in a relationship and how women reacted to my being. And also I think I had this kind of idea of, you know, I've always been quite a flirtatious person. And in that relationship, I wasn't chastised constantly for like, oh, I was talking to a woman in a bar and we're saying hello at the bar. I'd come back and she'd be like, oh, how's that girl? And I'd be like, like waiting for a barrage of abuse about like, why are you talking to this girl? What's going on? And she'd just be like, oh, how was that girl? And I was like, oh, we were just talking. And she'd go, yeah, there's no need to be defensive. I know you're probably just asking about some drinks or something. She's like, yeah. And through that, I started to see that this commitment beast that I assumed was a certain way wasn't that way. And inside that relationship, I was just allowed to be more of me. You know, that sadly broke down a number of years ago. And then out of that, I think the next kind of really transformative experience was an ayahuasca experience that I did in Peru, which really, I always say to people when they say, you know, what did ayahuasca do for you? And I was like, for me, it kind of removed a debris over my emotional body that was stopping me from expressing a lot of my thoughts and feelings. A lot of these ideas of like, oh, I shouldn't say how I feel. There's something wrong with that. And after that experience, it was just this heightened ability to communicate, along with my also added to like my will to want to communicate how I was feeling with the people around me. And I was traveling. I just remember like meeting people constantly and just communicating with them again, always saying, like, you know, this is what I'm about. This is what I love, taking people on adventures. And I think that was really a big part of it. And coming back and realizing like, oh, I can be me and I can be in a relationship and I can create a relationship that's the way that I want it to be. It doesn't have to be this kind of like all relationships the same. I think that's a big thing for me around commitment.
So it sounds like that relationship that you just mentioned was really healing, and it helped to challenge some of your assumptions that you mentioned before, you know, assumptions about what it means to be a man, a woman, dating, relationships, and also, you know, having that self-awareness to sort of see yourself like being the witness, you know, to your own patterns and knowing that you have a choice, that you can choose, you can make a different choice. And it sounds like, you know, that really helped to break that pattern.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I guess there's all the stuff I did before was like looking at my own kind of childhood. Like my childhood is littered with kind of broken relationships, you know, from my parents' relationship to family relationships. You know, me and my older sister sometimes talk and say there was no functional kind of working marriages around us at any point in our childhood as we grew up at all that we saw regularly. So we had no example. So I think there's also, I had an exploration of me as like, what is a relationship? You know, most people have the example of their parents and they try and, even if it's subconsciously, kind of recreate that. Like I just didn't even have that. So for me, it was like, okay, I know what relationship I don't want. So how do I kind of create a relationship I do want? And I think that's something that's often lost for us around commitment, is that commitment has such a heavy word. It's such a heavy term, isn't it? It's like commitment. It sounds like, you know, what other commitments are there? Mortgages, debt commitments. It's all really heavy stuff that you're bound to. And I started to see this, you know, I started to see this for myself, that it was a heavy term for me. As soon as a woman would talk about commitment on a date, I'd be like, oh man, oh, she's, you know, she's trying to lock me down. And I started to see that, oh, where did some of this rhetoric come from? It's like, yeah, I remember my dad saying things, you know, as a 20-year-old, my dad talking about commitment. And I was like, oh, that's where that's come from. And it's just the stopping and looking at your examples of relationships is a really good place to start, actually, with if you have commitment issues, is going, okay, what are my examples of relationships? Write them down. Write down, you know, the first five that come to mind and write down the things you hate about them, because there's going to be things you hate about those relationships because you see it. And when you start looking at that, and it's almost just to say, my relationship doesn't have to be like that. I get to choose what my relationship is like. I think that sort of work, as much as it doesn't necessarily sound like, oh, it's going to instantly fix your problems, it's not, but it at least sows a seed in your brain of, oh, my life doesn't have to be like that, or my relationship doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Ahmed, would you talk about your fear of rejection, how you overcame that?
Yeah, it's a funny one, actually, because so often we look at rejection as being something like someone else is doing to us. And so like there's a fear of like I'm going out and I'm, well, in the before times when we used to go out, we used to meet people. some time ago. This is where, you know, I really experienced this, like whether it was at university is where it really came to light. And it was a major frustration actually I had. And I think that's what sparked the change. But the frustration was that I really struggled to just meet new people. I was so afraid of like being how I would be perceived and accepted, or whether I did fit in. And that's really, I feel like when I was saying like fear of rejection, it's more about how I perceive myself and my concern about other people not accepting me as I am. And so the way in which I overcame that, which was debilitating, you know, David and I used to go out a lot, and there'll be some nights where I'd be like, oh, like I don't want to risk talking to anyone. I don't want to feel that pang of embarrassment of like someone not wanting to talk to me. It's some really tricky times. But then what I eventually discovered was there was actually one of those things in life, like a gem hidden underneath that embarrassment, underneath that shame. And one of the first things I did is actually start to just acknowledge that, oh, I feel really embarrassed to go over and talk to someone. And that actually became a bit of a challenge. I would go over and I would say, hey, I feel really embarrassed to come over and talk to you. Like, I'm afraid of like rejection. I'm worried about what you're going to say, and actually start the conversation there. Now, I'm not saying this was like a killer pickup line, because I don't think it was. But what it did do was it really removed a lot of the sting out of it, because it was like, I'm going in with that to begin with. Right. And I'm just going, hey, this is what the status quo is, as opposed to trying to suppress something that really feels strong inside of me. And I just don't want anyone to know. I'm actually going, right, I'm going to be vulnerable and just say this. And that process of actually just acknowledging what is the thing that I'm afraid of, what is the elephant in the room, and expressing it taught me that vulnerability is a massive key. And I started to become more comfortable with just sharing how I really feel. Now, the most amazing thing happened, like over this time that I've discovered this and been essentially, I was going to say practicing vulnerability, but it's just like being vulnerable as part of my existence. Yeah. It sounds like a practice, like practicing vulnerability. I guess sometimes it is, though. We have to remember we're not being vulnerable and go, oh, there's something there. But then, yeah, I just noticed something, which was that everyone feels the same. So I was in a club or wherever, and I'm like so afraid of what she might think. And half the time she's thinking the same. Like maybe she wants me to come over and talk to her, but she's worried about what I'm going to think of her. And this whole game I find is played between people. We all have things that we're hiding and we don't want others to know. So then we play this dance in life, in society, where it's like, I'm not gonna risk myself. And the other person's doing the same. Yet we're both hiding the exact same thing. Like, you know, not wanting to be embarrassed or have to experience failure. And that really just over time has really put my mind at ease. It was like in the action of doing it and then learning that really everyone is feeling the same. Like, I'm not alone here. Everyone has concerns. Everyone has doubts about their datability and you know, whether they match up. But the only way you're going to ever learn is by taking action. Like I said, this wasn't a quick fix. This wasn't an overnight success sort of thing. This is something I learned over time. And it's like layers of an onion. And it's just paid back dividends because now where I am in terms of relating in relationships, like my ability to be vulnerable is my ability to really make a relationship work and express like stuff when it comes up for me, when I get stuck or I'm frustrated or I disagree or just, yeah, maybe even something that I'm embarrassed about, even inside of a relationship, sharing something about my past or just a truth or something that I desire. And it's been quite a journey, but it really began with acknowledging that actually vulnerability is a power, not a weakness.
Yeah, I was just nodding so much as you were talking about that, because I think that we so often see vulnerability as a weakness. And like you say, it's that realization that we all feel it. We all feel shame at times. We all get scared at times. It reminded me of what Brené Brown says about shame, that it can't survive being spoken. And so I'm just saying, you know, putting like giving it a voice to those sort of darker thoughts and realizing actually the response you'll get is probably a me too. That happened to me. I feel that. I think that.
I love that.
And it's just so freeing, so liberating. And I totally agree about, mutual vulnerability in a relationship. I think that's what really creates intimacy and closeness and togetherness. And it's beautiful when we can let ourselves really be seen, the light and the dark. And I also just love that you really champion male vulnerability and that you're real advocate to that you really celebrate it in the work that you do and in your podcast. I think it's a really refreshing, I think you're both a really refreshing voice in the world of dating, and just giving men really healthy role models of what it means to be a man and in, you know, a healthy, loving relationship.
Oh, thanks so much.
What do you think are some of the challenges that you see men facing today?
In life or dating?
In dating.
Dating, okay. It's something I did a video a little while ago and it was the first thing that kind of popped into my mind actually, is I think it's a challenge for a lot of men around leadership, about actually kind of bringing that leadership to dating, because, you know, I can think of the women I'm friends with and the number of them that come to me and are like, yeah, I went on this date with a guy and he was nice and he was sweet, but he wasn't confident in leading. He wasn't, you know, everything was very democratic. I think is a lot of the things that women say to me is like, should we get a drink? Yes. Would you like to get a drink? Oh, where would you like to drink? Oh, we could drink here. We could drink here. We could drink here. And it's sometimes when you go on a date with someone And I know even as a man, I've had this before where someone just goes, we're going to go for a drink, we're going to go for dinner, and it's going to be great. And you go, great, I trust you. You know, mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of women, they want to be taken on an experience. You know, they don't necessarily want to have to make all the choices and decisions constantly throughout the evening. I'm not talking about a man choosing food, what she's going to eat and so forth, but it's just this ability to lead and also then lead things going forward after that. Like, you know, maybe it'd be, you know, being the first person to be vulnerably sharing like what they're looking for from the dating. You know, are they looking for a relationship? They're not looking for a relationship. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's also leading in sharing his feelings and emotions about himself or about relationships or, you know, what he wants for his future, like all those areas of leadership, you know, that as men, I think it's really, as masculine men, it's very much our mantle to pick up. I think that's one of the big kind of issues that men are having.
Mm. Yeah, I would add from some of the things that I've heard, like, it's essentially what I'm hearing in with leadership as well, is that being really being in their masculine, but also having the awareness to and compassion to understand emotions. So this is a huge one I find, like, because when we talk about that, there's a word we dance around, which is maturity. So there's like this emotional mm-hmm. maturity and being mature in your manhood, in your leadership, in your ability. So I feel there's a big bit of that, because a few of the women that I've spoken to recently are really complaining a lot about how men are either being indecisive or emotionally immature. Right. Mm. So they're not like this in the most recent case, it was a situation where loving relationship seemingly going so well, but as soon as there was some form of commitment on the table, completely fell apart and he completely changed his character. And it's like indicative of like some sort of emotion not willing to be experienced.
You know, if you're really honest in dating, a lot of it is we're in an exploration of the person we're meeting. We're trying to find out who this person is and how we want to relate with them. Because so you meet someone new and maybe after you've been on a date for 5 hours, you're like, my God, this is the person I want to spend my rest of my life with. But, you know, the other person might still be a bit on the fence. So there's kind of calibrating yourself in a way that you can put forward what you want, but also listen to what they want. I think there's a big part of listening in there. One of the things I say to our clients is very much like, if a woman tells you she wants commitment, she's saying what she wants. She's not telling you what she wants you to do. She's just saying what she wants. Mm. She may not have decided whether she wants that commitment with you, but she's just being honest and open about what she wants. I advise them to be honest about what they do want. I think it's funny. I wrote something about this recently in a blog post. It's like men often come out with a few different answers when they hear that, you know, what are you looking for? A woman says to you on a date, and not to be stereotypical, but I just know from my personal experience, a lot of the time it's been women saying to me, what is it you're looking for from your dating? And as a man in that moment, especially if you do have a fear around commitment, your heart starts to beat faster. Your fear is ramping up because you're being put on the spot to answer a question that you may A, not know the answer to, or B, you don't want to tell her the answer, what's true for you, because you fear you may upset her. You know, so you get a lot of guys going, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm looking for right now. Or they say, you know, maybe something casual and then see where it goes. Or, you know, I just want to have fun. But the truth is I see, and I hear this from a lot of women, is men not being very open and honest when that question's asked. They run around the question. Oh, I'm not really sure what I'm looking for. You know, I'm really busy with work and blah, 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 blah. And I think inside there is to realize is that there's a fear of commitment, which is a big fear for men. It's a fear of, and also there's a fear of going back on their word. So if they say, oh, I want a relationship, and then 3 dates down the line, I don't want that relationship with you. Having to say that is one, difficult, because I have to share how I feel and what I want and what I don't want. And two, I'm potentially going to upset the woman. And then mostly the truth is men don't want to be in that conflict of having to deal with that emotion that comes back as well. I think it's a big part of that is that a lot of men get very overloaded when a woman actually expresses emotion. They become overloaded and they want to shut down and they want to run away. So they avoid the conflict that could cause that very thing. So it causes a lot of them to not be honest. And I think there's just training in some resiliency for men to just go, okay, she's saying she wants commitment. That's okay. you know, maybe I don't want that of her. And I can say that. And I think this is the piece that is missing for a lot of men, is realizing, if I say that she says she wants commitment and I say that's not what I want, that's okay. Doesn't make me a bad man. I don't have to like lie. I don't need to try and string her along just to get some validation, just in case maybe later down the line I might want to be with her. But I also think there's an unfolding. There's a real unfolding in the exploration of getting to know someone. So I think sometimes our fear pushes us to ask the question very early, like, oh, what do you want? So that we can kind of lock someone in and be sure about this. But actually, it can kind of constrain and limit the relationship to a certain degree, because you've then gone and said, this is what I want and this is what I want. And actually you might have pushed that person into their own fear and shame. So you don't get the authentic experience of them anymore.
Yeah. It sounds like you're creating a much more honest and authentic dating experience, or helping, you know, you're helping men who have this fear to be, you know, more honest in terms of what they think and feel, and to be okay with managing, you know, emotions that may come up at the conversation, this specific type of conversation that I know many people fear. There was something that you said earlier about listening. You know, it might not be even asking the question in a direct way, because that can feel really confrontational, but it's sort of listening and picking up on things that people are saying and maybe not saying. And, you know, there might be some red flags there that emerge naturally as you're getting to know somebody, but it's just sort of knowing if someone who's listening now really wants to be in a relationship, it's, just really listening to what your date is saying or not saying when you're, you know, connecting with them.
Yeah. I think the tricky thing is often, and we find this, is that people can say one thing, but as David was saying, there's something we all need to start accepting, is if we've been in the dating game for a while, is to actually allow ourselves to explore what we really feel about dating and how we're doing it, because so much of it is sometimes like what society wants. And so I'm going to say I want a relationship because that's what I should be doing at X age or whatever. I feel for it, like, and this definitely been my experience as well, is like for a healthy relationship, it's good to actually have that sort of approach where it's like, oh, okay, like I'm aware how sometimes things can look great to begin with and then they can fizzle out or for whatever reason. So I'm going to approach this with like the optimism of a good relationship beginning, and I'm going to be open and honest about that's where I'm at. And just having that level of comfort in yourself to be able to say that, go, you know what, I've tried doing it other ways and saying I'm all in or that I'm not, and that doesn't work, so I'm just going to say like this, it's not where I'm at, I'm exploring things, or to say like I'd like something but I'm not going to jump straight into something. And that's such a key thing, because so often and this is something David and I talk about now more and more, is like so often people are so eager to get into a relationship and they don't realize that's just a start to a whole another chapter in their lives. It's not the magical ending, you know, the fairy tale ending. There's a whole thing on the other side of that door. So it's like, what's the rush? You know, you actually want to be good at relating and communicating in order to be in a relationship.
Which is why dating is such a learning journey, and it's great practice at really connecting and relating, as you say. This actually brings me on to dating in lockdown 2.0, because I think one of the benefits of that is to really take things slow with people as you're connecting with them and getting to know them. And it's sort of going back to old traditional ways of wooing and courting. Obviously nothing replaces the magic of, you know, in real life human connection, in real life meeting up. But I think working with the restrictions that we have, I think there are some positive benefits that we can take from this.
Yeah, so there's definitely some positives. Like we've seen, you know, in lockdown, the first lockdown, the original lockdown that we had way back in the year.
OG.
OG lockdown. Might have to trademark that quickly. We saw some of our clients actually really become quite creative with dating. There was this kind of resignation of like, oh, we can't meet in person. you know, that means we can't create any sort of connection and all those sorts of things. And you know, a few of our clients got really creative with their dates. You know, they were doing things like long walks, like going for walks in separate places and FaceTiming while they walked. Or I think one of my favorites is kind of sending each other takeaway for the date. I think that's one of the best ones. And I think one of my clients, probably for me, still, he pulled off what I think was one of the most beautiful things, was he actually sent cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
Down the bar that he liked. I don't even know if they were really doing takeaway quite yet, but he, you know, he got them to send some cocktails over, and it was that was a really beautiful way. And, you know, imagine that as a woman, is the man you on the first or second date with, and he sends you over some food that you might have mentioned once or twice during your conversations, and an interesting cocktail to try. You're going to know that this man is willing to make an effort. You know, he's willing to care. He's fun, and he's willing to kind of be vulnerable, because it's quite easily you could send the cocktail over. She tastes it and she's like, this is horrible, you know, but it's the willingness to do that. I think that's just there, you know, you can be a bit playful. And I think with the lockdown also is that you can take things slower, obviously physically, because you're not going to be physically in contact, but emotionally you can get to know someone a lot more. You can get to know a lot more about who they are, because often our lust and what a lot of people call the spark kind of clouds our ability to make good sound choices about our dates. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so busy looking for this lustful attraction that we forget that actually we need to find someone who matches our values. You know, and it's like spark versus values. And I think in the long term, values really match out in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it just gives us a chance to actually really delve into who someone is and talk to them about their lives and how they feel. And also you can lead with the one I always say is like leading with honesty, leading with vulnerability, because that's the way that you're going to get to know someone much better.
Yeah, I would add, like, as well, I think on the flip side, I know we're talking about dating. What always occurs to me about lockdown is how we actually get a lot more time to self-reflect and think about what we want. And also to engage in additional hobbies or try things that we otherwise didn't make time for before. And I find all of this stuff, like, it really feeds into your character and who you are. So you can really, it's like, I get this other essence, which is like, you really get to see the essence of a person, like, during these times, because there's heightened pressure. There's change in society and how we do things. And so you're really seeing, like, who someone is creatively, or how they deal with these sort of situations. So whatever, how we spend our time is a reflection of who we are as characters. And so it's important, I think, to continue engaging in things that we love. And then we're able to bring that to the conversation when we're meeting people.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think that, you know, getting to know someone in a really slow way, it really helps to prioritize the friendship first. And really, that is the foundation, I think, or that can be, you know, a really great solid foundation for a really fulfilling relationship. And you get to build that trust and intimacy, which can only be built over time. So suddenly you've got this opportunity really to get to know people in that slower way. One of my clients called it dating with stabilizers on, which I just love. I love that. And I think, you know, bring it back to your point about reflection. It's not just about going on a dating app. Dating in lockdown could actually just be about reflecting on what you really want in a relationship and what your values are. So it could be a really great time to just, you know, take a step back and have a think about what you want. What is your relationship vision? Look at couples that inspire you and, like, the qualities that you really admire in those relationships, and really start to create a new blueprint of what it means to be in a relationship.
We often have these ideas about what we want, but we don't really know why. They've just kind of been programmed into us through the TV and our family and our friends. And we just kind of spout them quite often. You kind of hear people when you coach, you go, you know, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in a partner? And they just throw out all these words. And you think, do you really want those things? Or are those just the things you have been told that you need in someone? I think sometimes we can fall into a habit of kind of getting into this, like, feeling like you always need to be in touch. You always need to be connected to someone, that kind of anxious attachment. You know, you're like, oh my God, they haven't replied to me in an hour. Like, what's going on? Is there something wrong? And it's actually to just observe that in yourself. Like, oh, when do I reach my phone? And I'm wondering why they haven't responded to me. And where does my mind go? What do I start to assume about what's happening? Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, what else could be the options here that, you know, they maybe just left their phone in the bedroom and they're just relaxing or they're watching some TV. And because that sort of behavior, when you're in a relationship, comes into the relationship. And actually that's the sort of behavior that actually can cause a lot of trouble and strife and feelings of feeling controlled and trapped. Someone who's always wanting to be like touch tight, as they say in football, to what's going on and what you're doing. So it's just kind of looking at your behaviors around dating as well, like spending some time to just observe them a little bit.
Yeah, I think there can be a bit further down the line on a dating journey. I think there can be a really healthy conversation about, you know, needs, like what do I need to feel safe in this relationship? And if regular contact is something that is really important to somebody, then that could be a request. You know, it could be sharing feedback. When you do this, I feel X, Y, Z. Would it be okay if we spoke more regularly in between seeing each other? And then that's a request that can be, you know, met if the person is willing to meet that request. Then it becomes a more sort of healthy conversation about needs, relationship needs, rather than something else which is more on the attack or punishment for not getting in touch. You know, there's protest behavior that we see with attachment theory, when actually what we want is that closeness. We want to reestablish that connection. It can create a boundary really in relationships, which I think can be healthy, but it's the way that it's delivered, I think, is super important.
Definitely. And I guess on the other side of what I was saying was for people who go into being aloof, and they're like, oh, someone's messaged me. Oh, I'm going to leave it. You know, what is it that you keep? Why do you not reply to people for 5 days when you've actually not really been doing anything? Are you self-sabotaging in some way? You know, you say you want to find someone, but I think this is, you know, so the bigger thing is like we say we want a relationship, but then we keep putting ourselves into situations which means we don't get into relationships. Maybe we find people are unavailable. Maybe we act all aloof and people become bored of waiting for us. It's just a lockdown is a really good time because you do end up in a bit of a bubble to see your behavior. I did a meditation retreat last year for 10 days and it was in silence. One of the things I learned really clearly there was that you always think that everything around you in life is dictating how your life is going, but actually it's everything that's just happening in your head. That is dictating your whole life completely. And I learned that in 10 days of not talking to anyone, just being in my own head, and still having the same patterns play out in my life that happens outside of the meditation center. And I started to see, and I think this lockdown gives you an opportunity to really just see how your behaviors play out in your life.
I'm going to ask you now a question that I tend to ask people when they come onto the podcast and they share their real love stories with me. And I'm going to ask you both, what advice would you give to your younger selves with the wisdom and knowledge that you have now?
I would go with, that's what I was saying earlier, that you're not alone. Everyone's the same. Like noticing that. And the reason why I say that is I was just thinking like, what would I want my younger self to know? And I want my younger self to feel safe and to feel more free to just express how he really felt, how he, you know, what was going on for him. Or maybe when I didn't know, like, or I felt like I didn't know what the right thing to do in a moment or whatever, that was okay. It's like, you know, no one has all the answers. So I'd say that.
Gorgeous.
I'd say for me, I got to kind of work. The phrase that kind of came to me was like, follow the feeling. Is like, follow that strong feeling when you really feel that you really like someone. And follow it, don't run away from it. Because I think, you know, especially when I look back at my younger years, there were times when I would really like somebody, and I'd be really scared about what I should do. And I would go into quite a dysfunctional mode of behavior of like avoiding things and trying to play smart games of like aloofness instead of actually just following the feeling and just going, like going through with it. And being like, you know, this is how I feel. I really like someone. I think that's definitely something I would tell a younger version of me.
Love it. So what is next for you guys, for the Authentic Dating series? Have you got any 2021 plans to share?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that we're both really excited about at the moment, developing a course around emotional awareness and to teach men around how to harness, you know, their emotions and understand what they are and how to actually use emotions to create peace of mind and results in their life.
Great. When's that coming out? We need to get you back on when that comes out then.
Well, we're going to launch, what was it, on the 18th of November, we're going to have like a taster session for it, where we're going to be introducing some ideas and going through an emotional wheel and really holding the space for men to express themselves and how they really feel. I think that's what's been coming up, is like helping men feel what they really feel, you know, letting that come to the surface.
Right. Where can people find you if they want to listen to your podcast, find out more? Where can they find you?
It's the best place to find us is on Instagram. We're very active and we reply to all our messages. Instagram's a good place to find us. That's at Authentic Dating Series. We also have a website where we have a blog. So we write kind of blog posts like a couple of times a month about everything from commitment to sex, to love, to dating, to openness, to feelings, you know, all sorts of shame even. And that usually comes out twice a month. So that's www.authenticdatingseries.com. And yeah, I think they're probably the best two places to kind of find out about us. And our podcast is, you know, I always say it's all good podcast peddlers, you know, iTunes, podcasts, and everything else around. You should be able to find us there.
Mm. Brilliant. Any final thoughts, anything else that you want to share before we wrap up?
There was actually one thing I had written down and I didn't share, which I thought is quite interesting for dating in lockdown. And it is that what I've noticed is everyone has their view of what's possible right now based on the level of what they feel or fear is going on right now. And I think the message is really to question your own beliefs around lockdown, like especially if you feel like it's not possible to date, or that people are not interested. I would say people definitely are interested and they're starved of human intimacy. And so really people are looking to connect.
Mm, yeah. And also, you know, we now have lockdown OG to, you know, show us that it is possible. Cause there's so many love stories out there. I love to read them. I was Googling them the other day. Actually, I love to read about couples that have found love in lockdown. Just even Googling love in lockdown, love in a time of corona, there's so many love stories out there that you can read about online. And I think that can really inspire you to see that it is possible. And there are people out there, like you say, they're wanting, you know, craving that human connection probably now more than ever. So, yeah. I totally agree with you that it's really good to look inwards and, you know, look at what you believe is, you know, possible.
Yeah, I think there's, I think one of the things I've been saying to people is I've met quite a few people like, oh, I'm putting dating on the back burner, you know, until this is all blown over. And I keep saying, you know, when do you think this is going to blow over? Are you buying into your circumstance, which is corona and lockdown? Or do you really want to go for what you really want? Or you're just letting the circumstance get in the way of what you really want unnecessarily. And I think with dating, that's really clear. You know, like I said, the love stories, I've read some of them myself. I've met people, friends who have met great people. And I know a lot of people are creating great relationships right now. And they simply because they are not allowing this circumstance to get in the way of what they really, really want for themselves.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Yeah, I agree. 1,000,000%. Oh, this has been such a nourishing episode. Thank you so, so much to you both for coming on to the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time out to speak to me today. And I know that our listeners are going to get so much from this episode. So thank you so, so much.
Well, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a joy.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes. And we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.